Hey everyone, it's Kevin O'Connor,
aka Kevin O'Bomber, aka Kevin O'Concert. Kevin,
wait a minute, you're not Chris Vernon.
No, Kevin, sadly I'm not as cherubic or as raspy as Verno, but it is I, J. Kyle Mann. And folks, basketball has been and continues to be so very good.
That's exactly why Kyle and I are hosting a brand new basketball show on a brand new podcast feed, the Ringers NBA Draft Show.
We're going to have you covered every week as we go in-depth and deep dive in hopes of answering an ever-important question in the NBA. Who's got next? Whether it's an international phenom like Victor Wembanyama,
or the G League Scoot Henderson,
or stars from Overtime Elite like Amen Thompson, as well as a full-blown swarm of talented prospects from the promising 2023 NBA draft class.
For sure, Kyle. And we're also going to get into players from the college ranks, because this is a loaded class for us to discuss prospects rising and falling. And we're going to revisit and redraft recent draft classes and get into how the league's evolution could help inform what's valuable in a prospect of the future.
This is a podcast for a fan of every team, whether you're losing and have high draft lottery odds or you're looking for sleepers later in the draft.
We're going to be covering everything in the months to come, so please make sure you follow and subscribe to the Ringer NBA Draft Show.
And hit us with those five-star ratings.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Blow your eardrums out?
No.
I have sensitive ears, I think.
Oh, I was like a big Scene guy. I was at all the show. That's a lie. I didn't go to any con. Scene. That's what we called us emo guys back in the day.
You ever get in a mosh pit?
Once, I think. I didn't really do as much moshing as I wanted to. That's always been a dream of mine. The one thing that's really motivating my weight loss is to be able to crowd surf. That's really the only reason. Health, who cares? Crowd surf, yes, please. What do you have to say about that, Michael? You've all of a sudden gone unexpected quiet. You okay?
Okay, I will say this.
Here we go.
The motto on The Ringer has become hot takes. Everybody has a hot take that they always share.
That's hot.
I think most of them are generally wrong, which I'm always wrong, so I can't really complain. Mm-hmm. And I'm not complaining. My hot take, though, to be Ringer-esque, this is a Simmons-inspired, a Russillo-esque of Vernon doesn't do the hot takes as much, which I like.
I can't wait to hear what this hot take is.
Hot take, lukewarm opinion, let's call it that instead. Hot take's a little too catchy for my liking. 2020, that's a year, that draft class in the NFL, National Football League, will be the greatest, will go down as the greatest, the GOAT, greatest hobby draft class in the history of football. That is my contention.
Is this the opener? I thought this was just a segment we're doing in the show. What do you...
You think I'm burying a lukewarm opinion somewhere down the line? No, you start... When you've got an ace in the hole, unlike you who takes his Giannis and benches him like an idiot, I put my workhorses to the front of the line, pal.
I don't bench
so there you go.
Giannis without a reason. I had a reason. Okay, that is fine. I'm glad for that take. I cannot wait to show you some data I pulled, because I think there's a number of people who feel that that's not the case, that the year that you feel is the best is not the accurate year. But
I'm going to lay out my
let's
reasoning.
Do this. Let's do
Let me give the my reason.
Rundown.
I already gave the rundown of this. You can do it after. We're going right into the take. I've been very lenient with the nonsense lately. Not today. Four quarterbacks. My contention is by the end of this year and moving forward, four guys out of that draft class, top 10. By the end of next year, I believe two of them, if not more, will be top five in the league. I'm not going to give you the names yet, but it's Burrow, Herbert, Hurts, and Tua.
I'm not telling you which one are top five next year,
but those four. I think you have what I would consider a top three, and it's going to go down historically as one of the greatest wide receivers of all time in Justin Jefferson. You've also got Chase Young, who I think is going to be a generational type talent defensively, et cetera, et cetera. It's a bunch of other guys too, but there you go.
So there's your hot take.
CD Lamb. I like him as well. Secondary guy, but fine.
All right.
Michael Pittman, Brandon Ayuk, Jerry Jeudy. I'm just saying, loaded draft class. Headlined by quarterbacks. The hobby revolves around quarterbacks. Do you want to add anything?
You've jumped around so much that we've skipped the rundown, and now I don't know where
Jonathan
you want to go with
Taylor
this.
Taylor Thomas is in that class.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas is a national treasure. You know that, but
okay, that's my thought though.
Okay. Let's dive in deeper after the rundown. Listen, we're doing the rundown every episode. It's just a fact.
I thought we were doing the monologue to open. I didn't know,
but the monologue then is the same thing as the segment that we go into. So usually the monologue would be a little different than the segment. So that's where I got confused.
Now that you're not confused, can we just skip the rundown and get into it?
No, because All right, go ahead and cut this first part of the episode, Carlos. Just cut.
No, I'm in a good mood. You're right. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead. We're not cutting anything.
We're going to do best hobby draft class of all time.
Who is it?
In Michael's opinion. We're going to go right from that to a little hot start NBA. We'll talk some new blood, see who's really taken off. We're going to talk new releases. We're also going to bring up a subject that I wanted to talk about, which is ideas for fanatics for reinvigorating the card market. And then we'll touch on your mailbag. Now we'll get right into our
big picture.
2020. Already talked about it. There you go. Now, some people are going to argue that is not true. We've got all these other quarterbacks that are so phenomenal and great. Mm-hmm, so Jesse has prepared a list. I want you to give me the names of the people who are starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now. We're going to just fly through this because, my contention, all four of the guys I mentioned are top 10 this year, which is not really a stretch. They will be top 10, maybe top five by the end of next year, and quite possibly this year as well. Justin Jefferson, by the way, top five right now, top three in the game, no question. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, same thing. Jonathan Taylor's a top three running back. Okay. Having a bit of a down year, but fine. So go ahead. Give me the quarterback. Just rifle through them.
To be fair, the information that I have pulled is based all on QB, not wide receiver, running back, or anything
quarterbacks.
Like that.
Okay. Give me the starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now, today, this year.
Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson.
Yes. I would argue he is better than those four guys this year and next.
Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen.
Fine. Mahomes, too, by the way. Let me save you some time. Those three. Yes.
Bengals, Joe Burrow.
He is in the class. That's who we're talking about.
Now, Browns is Deshaun Watson when he gets back.
I'll say yes there, too. So, by the way, you're going to go through the rest of this list. Those four, to me, are the only locks. Deshaun, Lamar, and quite frankly, I don't know if Lamar is an absolute lock over Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or either of the other guys. Tua is having a great season, 6-0 and starting. Hurts is 8-0. I bring this up because the hobby in 2020 football, I think, is one we're going to look back on. It's unbelievable. But I'll go with those four. Mahomes, Allen, 1-1A, better than anybody else in the league. I think Deshaun, when healthy, is as good as just about anybody in the league as well, if he ever comes back, which who knows. And then Lamar Jackson. Give me the rest of them just real quick.
Broncos, Russell Wilson.
I don't even need the team name. Just give me nope, not anymore. He's a Hall of Famer. Not anymore, though. Not right now. Top 10.
Davis Mills.
Nope.
Sam Ellinger.
Please.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, maybe next year he's a top 10 guy, but I'm not taking him over any of those four. Next.
Patrick Mahomes.
All right, talk to him.
Derek Carr.
Nope.
Justin Herbert to Mac Jones.
Nope.
Zach Wilson.
I think in 3 years, potentially, but no.
Kenny Pickett.
Please.
Tannehill.
How dare you?
Marcus Mariota. Kyler Murray.
Kyler's probably a top 10 type guy. I'm not taking him over any of the other four this year or going forward.
PJ Walker?
That's the guy who checked me out at Kroger earlier, my cashier? No.
Justin Fields?
Interesting the last few weeks, but certainly not in the class of those four.
Dak Prescott?
Again, probably a top 10 guy because we're talking about how weak this quarterback class is in the NFL right now, the changing of the guard. I would take all four guys from the 2020 draft class above Dak right now. And of course, moving forward because they're much younger.
Jared Goff?
Nope.
Aaron Rodgers?
No. By the way, Rodgers is garbage this year. If you've watched him play, and I don't think he gets better next year, that's a list that is, that's a guy who has been a cemented top five guy, top three, best in the league last year, if you want to argue. I'm taking all four of those guys over him this year and next year.
Stafford?
No.
Cousins?
Underrated, but no.
Andy Dalton?
I mean, you laughed at that. Come on.
Daniel Jones?
Nope.
Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, Geno Smith.
I mean, great story this year. This year, you know, quite frankly, he probably is going to end up with as being a top 10 guy, but no.
Tom Brady.
Absolutely not. I mean, now if we're talking one game, if I need a quarterback to win, I'll take Tom Brady at age 93 over almost anybody. But this year, those other four guys are winning more games and are playing better than Tom Brady. Next year, when Brady's 46, that is the case as well. I just said we've gotten so caught up in the narrative being, well, everybody who is new is overrated. This stuff is overpriced. I'm just going to go back and get the all-time greats like an Elway, a Montana, a Marino, a Peyton Manning, because they're cemented. We saw the exact same theory, by the way, in basketball. Zion got to such a height, and it was like, man, but Zion, he's just a new guy. He's crazy overrated, which was true, by the way. I'm going to go back and get a Patrick Ewing, who's a top 10 center of all time. I'm going to get a David Robinson. I'm going to go back and get a Vince Carter. Like that's what caused the initial boom in the 90s stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see that creep into football now. And not right now. It's happening for a few months. But it's like, hey, these new guys have really done nothing. And they're just going to flame out. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We're spending too much money. Yeah, I don't think that's the case. Not to mention two of those guys, and especially Justin Herbert, aside from not making the playoffs, Justin Herbert has had, if you go back to the history of football, I did this the other day, I was in a deep dive wormhole. I don't have much of a social life, to being honest. There are very few quarterbacks in the history of football, if any, if ever, have had as good a two-year start to their career as Herbert. Now, I'm not including I'm saying 2 years in the league because he started as a rookie. So if you were benched, like Brady didn't play his rookie year at all. Mm-hmm. First year he starts. You know what year he won his first Super Bowl? The season
2002.
Oh, the game was in 2002. It was 2001. So that's correct. So his second year was great, not statistically because it wasn't as much of a league, but he won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But he didn't play his first year. So again, just guys who have played their first two seasons. Herbert is literally as good as anybody who's ever had a start to their career. Joe Burrow, despite missing most of his rookie year, look at what he did last year in his first full season. I'm telling you, this class is going to go down as being unbelievable.
Can we talk a little bit about what the NFL professionals feel about this?
I guess.
I just want to make a devil's advocate point because I looked up NFL.com did something similar as far as they ranked every quarterback class since 2000. And 2020 is high on this list. However, they have rated it as fourth. Not first.
2004?
They have rated...
Hang on, don't just say it here. Is 2004 above it?
2004...
And number one.
Is number one.
Yeah, erroneous.
Why? Why do you say
okay, that? Okay, so here's the thing. Again, we're going to make a big stretch here.
Okay.
You've got four Super Bowls just out of those big three. So Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Eli, despite what people say now, it does not matter. Eli is top 10 statistically and has two Super Bowls. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer, as are the other two. I realistically think Herbert, I think two, if not more of these guys, I think let me just say it this way. I think the career resume, when it's all said and done of these four, will be more impressive than those three. And I know that's a stretch because those guys put up great numbers. Statistics are going to go out the window to a degree. Way more of a passing league now than it was then. So the numbers are going to be warped like that.
Okay.
But I also think, I mean, Burrow in his second year went to a Super Bowl. Hurts this year. Like if I gave you those four quarterbacks against the field to win a Super Bowl this year, it's probably a close race. I would argue the Eagles are the best team. Miami hasn't lost with Tua. I mean, Burrow, you count that guy out in a big game. The Chargers kind of the X factor. So it's super early on, but that is my contention. I do. Okay. So that's one. I'm trying to think of the other classes here. Hang on.
Two other classes.
From 2000 onward. I don't remember 2000 at all. Was it 2000?
I'll tell you, it's much closer to 2020.
So 2018's got to be in there.
That's third.
In 2017.
Yep.
Okay. So 2017, you just have the big two. Well, you got the big one. You got Mahomes, and then you got Deshaun Watson.
It also includes Trubisky in there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but Mahomes is going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But is Mahomes and Deshaun's career going to be more impressive than these four combined? That's a toss-up. Now, I think Mahomes will go down as better than any of these four individually. No question.
Okay.
But I would put the career of these four up against those two at the end of the day. Yeah, I'd take that bet.
When did you say that Brady was first drafted? What year was it?
2000.
2000. So he won his first one the year after.
Correct.
His first
Super Bowl. There was no other quarterbacks either in 2000. That's why he's not on there.
Well, 2018, it does include Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Baker. And Darnold?
Yep. And Darnold.
Yeah. So then that's an interesting one. Do you take Lamar and Josh Allen? No, I would take these four. Again, cumulative resume. Mm-hmm. I'll take these four over those. Not to mention, in any of those years, was there arguably the greatest receiver in the game, at least today, drafted with them? No.
Okay.
Like Cooper Kupp was 2017, but he had a really slow start to his career. He's not going to go down like that. Justin Jefferson is off to literally the greatest career a wide receiver's had in three seasons. Okay. I'm telling you, dude. Okay. Jonathan Taylor, same thing. We've had some monster seasons out of this kid. I think 2020 is that type of a class.
Now let's go back to how this relates to cards. Would you say the individual players or wax for those years is what you would relate the performance of this to?
I'll be honest. I'm glad you're here for this. I did this monologue on Instagram a couple of days ago and I had nobody to bounce this off of.
Okay.
That's a good point. I think this say something stupid so I can insult you. It doesn't feel right complimenting.
I once open mouth kissed a horse.
What is wrong with you?
That's from a movie that's not a true statement. All right. Austin Powers is underrated.
Okay. That's nice. You had a question though.
I did have a question.
About a farm animal. So I think it relates more in terms of wax.
Okay.
Somebody brought up a great point though the other day. So I think 2020 is a great year for wax, obviously, because if I'm this high in the class, if I'm going crazy long-term, and I rarely talk about this, I'm talking 401k stuff with this.
Oh, okay. Like, long-term.
Like my Brady's that are in a box that are never going to see the light of day.
Okay.
That is what I consider 2020 wax. In my mind, they're the same type of thing. I think they're going to be grail level stuff that you're never going to want to touch. The one thing I absolutely hate about it, Joe Burrow is a redemption as an autograph in almost everything.
Really?
Which is terrible. Redemptions expire after 2 years. You can go through the hassle and try to get them after that. But like 15 years down the road, I don't think there's any. Or if Panini gets acquired or not or whatever happens there.
Yeah.
I get very nervous about that fact. But the good thing is there's so much other depth and talent. And you're chasing so. So I would say if I'm going to go with product, I'm going with things like a Select, a Prism, an Optic, things that are not just based, like where you can buy, open a box of that stuff and get an amazing card and it's not an autograph.
Well, I think especially when it comes to the wax, you have to account for those other things that we were talking about, the running back and wide receiver and things like that, because that just adds to that.
And that plays into the theory, by the way, because running backs and receivers value right now is very average. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson, for as good as he is, should sell for more. Jonathan Taylor as well.
Yeah.
But in 10, 15 years, are wide receivers just selling really well? I don't know. They're probably not selling worse than they are now. I think there's upside with both of those just as a position. So that's where I'm at with 2020 wax.
Okay. I think that's a really good take as far as like it's something we haven't really talked about. So thank you.
And honestly, man, you start looking through the league. Like it sounds crazy. But, oh, these guys are top 10. Then you really look. It's not even like, I don't even think it's that close.
It is interesting.
People are down on Tua. I get that. And and I would also add, I think Tua or Hurts, one of those has a career cut short from injury.
Well, and the thing, I think the overall issue that I have is that it is so early on in their career. I think
we're not making hot takes in the end of the career, buddy.
I know. But it's like 2017 with, you know, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. I think that's great. But do you know, I mean, of course, I'm not as familiar. Running backs, wide receivers for those years.
So Cooper Kupp in 2017.
Cooper Kupp was 17. Okay.
Running back. I have no clue. No, I mean, no one that stands out, at least. When was Derrick Henry?
I was about to say, was that 16?
He might be 2016.
Okay, so then that's another case for 2020 then. What about 2018? Anything?
I mean, I like all those guys. 2017 also had Christian McCaffrey, but with his injury history, is he going to be around in a few years? I mean, Leonard Fournette, but I don't think he's a guy who has hobby value after the fact. He doesn't really even have it now. Yeah, I mean, I do. I start looking at those positions. I'm like, man, 2020, wide receivers. I mean, Chris Godwin is a good one. Juju Smith-Schuster. You've got some decent wide receivers, but and you have George Kittle, who could potentially be a Hall of Fame type tight end, but I'm not investing money on tight ends even in 10 years. And then, yeah, at running back, I mean, Aaron Jones, probably the best on there. Oh, Christian McCaffrey, I lied. But I don't know that he stays healthy long enough for it to be a thing, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting little contention. Yeah,
2020, again, you're making a solid point.
By the way, I think that actually extends to 2021. That's another thing now. Everybody in 2021's crap, the most overrated class of all time. That is such a lazy and bad take. Just to be clear, Trevor Lawrence is a top 10 quarterback next year. I don't think it's an argument. I think one of the other guys is probably in that discussion as well, based on what we've just talked about. There's not a ton of depth at the quarterback position, and some of these greats are on their way out. I mean, you've got three surefire Hall of Famers, Wilson, Rodgers, and Brady, clearly on the tail end of their career. I think those guys, though. So I think Trevor and one more is probably top 10. I'm going to argue Ja'Marr Chase is still the best receiver in football next year. You still have Jaylen Waddle, who's probably top 5. Devontae Smith is probably a top 10 guy. So you've got three great wide receivers. Kyle Pitts, excellent tight end. There's enough there. And then some of those other quarterbacks, even if they're not top 10, mm-hmm. are still quarterback. They're still hobby relevant. So the take that these guys are overrated, a little bit overrated because of how much hype. But again, there's so much talent there with those big five QBs. And look at what Justin Fields is doing all of a sudden. And when Trey Lance comes back next year, he's on an excellent roster. So
now, how much do you respect the QBR rating that ESPN does?
Sure.
Because I was looking at that just for this season so far. It is interesting to see where some of these guys land, but the top three, do you have a guess for top three?
Top three QBR this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes.
He's number two.
Hurts.
Nope. He is number six.
Not bad though. I would say Josh Allen, but he's had some bad games. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's number three.
Joey B.
Nope. Joey B is actually a little bit further down. I'm
probably missing somebody obvious here.
You're missing your boy.
Tom.
Nope.
Tua?
Tua.
That's not
Tua actually is listed as number one on the QBR.
Where's Herbert? So Tua's one.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Hurts, Burrow, and Herbert.
So Hurts is at six.
Okay.
Herbert is at 11. And Burrow is at 14.
Okay.
Now, you know what's really interesting? You know who's at 31, which is out of 32?
Tannehill.
Why would I? I wouldn't even say that if it was.
Tom Brady.
Mac Jones.
Oh, he's been pretty bad. Yeah.
I know, but it is just interesting to see like how the mighty have fallen, at least so far this season. Granted, there's still.
But he was also never mighty in stats and QBR.
I think like the hype around him as far as the card values go.
Yep. So there you go. That's my contention there.
Okay. Very nice. You want to jump into some NBA? I did have the report to the guys.
Yeah. Let's hit that real quick.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
So I think it's obvious they didn't put him on here because I don't really, there's no cards really for Banchero, right? Banchero? Am I pronouncing that right?
Paolo. So he has Chronicles stuff. I bought a couple of those actually because they have like Recon, a bunch of different drafts. It's Chronicles draft. I got them cheap, so I bought them.
Other than Banchero and Mathurin, I think there's also Jaden Ivey is like the other guy who's doing okay. Is there any, like, is this draft class really doing it for you? Have you heard much about it? Like, and I think there's also like Keegan Murray. I think he's the other one.
This draft class, and it's not its fault. the storyline of this draft class was it's a year away from like the big one, which is next year.
Yeah.
So this was a very boring class coming out. And then Chet Holmgren, who was the guy who was going to score 30 off the bat and be great and save the draft class in the hobby, at least, breaks his foot or whatever he did. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
So it was already a negative timeline. The market's also dipping. The number one guy in the class goes down. The mindset with this class is it's going to be horrendous for the hobby, which, by the way, we talked about. I felt that way as well. Everybody felt that way. They are outperforming that sentiment so much because of the elite scorers at the top. Not to mention Banchero is like a legit 25-7-7. Like he's actually really, really good, but it takes a lot to change that sentiment.
Yeah.
The sentiment is it's garbage and everything's cheap. Doesn't help the fact either that there's no product coming out right now. Well, like if you had pro uniform product coming out this week and Banchero just going off for 35.
Banchero.
Whatever. Awesome. But yeah, that's the biggest issue I have with.
Well, and the fact too that he's not on a winning team, right? You mentioned that before.
That team's a couple years away. Yep. As are they all. So like all those kids. But
So
who else do they have? Like who's doing well? It's not really.
So the ones that are doing well as far as in their card values to go along with it, Donovan Mitchell.
Dude's averaging 32 points a game.
Yeah.
Is there a reason his cards are cheaper now than at the start of the season? You want to talk about the most useless storyline in basketball?
Technically, it's up a little bit, at least for... So they pulled two of his cards. So first is his Prism Base PSA 10 2017.
I just bought that. I say just. I bought that in Vegas, and I bought 395s. What's the 10 going for?
The 10 was going at the beginning of the season for $52. As of today, it's $72. That's not a bad increase.
Okay.
They didn't. They said
again, is there a 9.5? Oh, you don't have it up. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll I'm just going off the report. Yeah. They also put on. I think this is his silver. They didn't put silver. I think it was a typo. But the card was going for $330 at the beginning of the season. It's now going for $408.
Silver PSA 10 of Donovan Mitchell.
Uh huh.
I bet that's a super low pop too.
It says 574.
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah,
that's a quarter, less than a quarter of what you have for the big guys now.
So that's not a bad jump. Donovan Mitchell's actually, his pricing is done okay, especially when we're in a climate where we're seeing even guys who have done fairly well stay the same. So
I like the Donovan Mitchell play. Honestly, that team's winning a bunch of games. I
mean, yeah, the Cavs are actually pretty high up, right?
Yeah, they're playing. Yeah, they're playing awesome right now. I was trying to pull up their, I just keep saying yeah because I don't have anything else to say. They're 8-3 right now.
8-3.
Yep. Second best record in the league.
Yeah, right behind the Bucks. Okay.
Not
the
bad.
Bucks still 10-1. That's so impressive. Okay, so they've got Donovan Mitchell off the bat. Then we've got
Lauri Markkanen.
Lauri Markkanen for the Jazz. 22 points per game.
Real quick. So this was the card I meant to mention.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Prism 9.5 of Mitchell is down to $45 to $50. Those were 60 in Vegas, and I bought all three of them for 150. Oh, no, excuse me. They were doing 75 in Vegas, and I got them all for 60.
Oh, okay.
They're only doing 50 now.
So it is, he was even higher and he's come back down.
Yeah. He was super high after the trade news. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
So Markkanen is 2017 Prism Base PSA 10. There's only like 1100 of these right now.
What year is he, by the way?
2017.
17. Okay.
October 19th, this card sold for $21. It has doubled. It's doing like $40 today.
It's come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The Jazz literally got rid of Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. Let's tank for next year's unbelievable class.
They made the room Jazz, for this guy.
I think the Jazz are 10-3.
I mean.
It's ridiculous. Like they can't even lose effectively. Nice job, Danny Ainge.
And then the silver of that same card was doing 80.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1,000.
And now
it's like 250?
142. So.
Interesting. Okay. I like that one too. I'm always skeptical of guys like that and on that team because I do think eventually they do what they're supposed to do, which is just lose and be terrible.
Do what everyone but expects them to
wild.
Do.
But man, it's wild. Yeah. Like talk about a crazy, crazy spike out of nowhere. Okay. I like that one.
DeJounte Murray for DeJounte the Hawks. Murray. Yeah, they're 7-4.
Yeah. He's playing in the backcourt with Trey. That backcourt's scoring at elite levels. Not to mention the majority of that team is still there from their Eastern Conference Finals run. I'm super high on Trey too. I've told you that. I think both those guys are crazy cheap for what they're doing on the court.
2016 Prism Base pop count for the PSA 10 is only 282.
What's so doing $90?
Beginning of the season. Oh, this one went down. This one's not doing as well. I guess he's performing well, but his card value is not. Start of the season is 100. It's down to $53. That one's cut in half.
I don't think anybody's taken note of how well he's played. That's why. By the way, so is Trae Young. Trae Young, just a real quick.
Yeah.
Trae Young's averaging 28 points, 9.5 assists.
28 points, 9.5 assists. Wow.
Yeah. He is playing pretty well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's got 8 assists, almost 7.
That backcourt's killer, man. Okay. Yeah. I like that by two. I like that one maybe the best of all because that team is pretty good.
And he's
super cheap. Donovan for the same reason, by the way. You gave two examples of him being up. There's others. Like I showed Donovan's down in some areas, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
I don't trust Lauri Markkanen though.
Desmond Bane, Grizzlies.
Here's my problem with Bane. We don't even have to talk. What, is he up or down?
He's up.
I'm out on Bane. I like him as a player. I think he's a great two. Awesome.
Oh, okay.
That team only has enough room for Hobby Love for one guy. And they, it's Ja Morant. Yeah, and it's Ja Morant. Like, Ja Morant is so polarizing.
Yep.
I don't think it's like, oh, but this other guy he plays with is great.
Yeah.
I'm kind of out on that. Yeah.
Do you think people only take notice of that if they win? Like, if they can come back and, like, win a championship or something like that?
Take notice of what? I'm sorry.
Of that team or Ja or somebody where they can show a little more Hobby Love for them. Because, like you said, there is so much wish, I guess, like,
yeah, I think
hot and cold.
I think you have to win. Yeah, and honestly, you have to win with Ja because they had a really good record without him last year, which didn't really help his case.
All right, so that was Desmond Bane. One last one is Brandon Ingram with the Pelicans.
I want to talk about the Pelicans, anyways.
What a segue!
Here's another hot take. I think the Pelicans might be okay. You're gonna hate this. Same thing. I'm gonna do.
Are you talking bad about Zion?
No. Here's where I'm at with this. I don't think there's that many elite and great teams in the West that you can just say anymore are head and shoulders above the Pelicans. Now, it's a stretch. I'm not saying that, but I really don't. I think the Pelicans are a lot closer to being a team that wins a playoff series or two.
What's their record right now?
So they're 6-5. As of right now, they are...
Zion hasn't been doing all that great.
I mean, he's averaging 23 points. They have 3 starters averaging 20 points, which is pretty impressive.
But weren't we all expecting Zion to be doing even better than that at this point?
Well, he's also on limited minutes some nights. He's missed some time. I mean, 23 points a game is pretty good on a winning team.
It is just interesting that there was so much holdout for Zion as far as like his pricing goes. Like it was holding pretty steady when you look at his base, like 2019 Prism. But it is over the last few weeks, it's finally dropped beneath that floor, which was like around 190, 180 bucks or something. It's now like 167. Which to me just kind of shows that the hobby's like, well, he's not performing up to what we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, for the hobby, correct. But on the floor. So I guess my contention is, which I'd like to hear somebody with more knowledge than me in basketball speak to this. It sounds weird to say the Pelicans could very easily win a playoff series, in my opinion, this year. The way Ingram is playing, CJ McCollum, Zion, I hate to say Herb Jones because we have mutual friends who talk about him all the time that I can't stand. That's fine. But he's playing really well. Like, that's actually a pretty good team out West. Now, granted, the Warriors right now are 4-7. The Warriors beat them all day, every day in a best of 7 series. No problem. That's fine. The Phoenix Suns do as well. Like, Phoenix is a very good team. I don't think it's that close when they're healthy. And the Nuggets, because they have the best player in basketball still, in my opinion, with Joker. I just think that's an unbelievable team. Murray's back. He's healthy. Those three teams, hands down, beat the... who are we talking about? Beat the Pelicans in the playoffs. After that, without being dramatic, here's the rest of the teams. The Utah Jazz are 10-3. That's the number one seed. I don't think the Utah Jazz can win a playoff series. The Portland Trailblazers, we've seen this act before. It's Damian Lillard against the world. He's unbelievable, but not good enough to beat like consistently solid teams in the playoffs. So I think that's a toss up at best. Now Memphis won last year. Can Memphis beat them in a series? I would take Memphis, but it was not a shock. That's not a lock to me that Memphis beats the Pelicans if they're playing well and healthy. Everything is predicated on health, by the way, with all of these. Even the rest of the teams, the Mavericks, Luka is arguably the best player in basketball. That is by no means the best team in basketball, though.
So let me ask you, who is it that's making you so high on the Pelicans? Like, what?
Looking at how they're playing in their roster and how weak the Western Conference is.
There's not an individual player or anything like that. It's not Zion. It's
no, but you brought up Brandon Ingram. I mean, the guy's averaging 20-plus points a game, I think like 22 points, on a team that I think is going to win a series or two. I don't think Brandon Ingram is a bad buy right now because of that condition. Same thing with Donovan Mitchell in the East.
Now, this is, I would contend to say this is a hot take. Do you recall what your last NBA hot take was?
So the Lakers, are they winning or not? So the Lakers are 1-2 since I said they would win 8 of 10. They got to win their next 7. Not impossible. Call me when it's wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to, you know, let people know how much faith to put into that. All right. Let's talk.
I bought a Zion Prism PSA 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you just make a little investment?
$10.50. Worth a shot. I think it's going to spike from here, so we'll see.
A Zion Prism 10, not silver, just base?
Silver.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What is that going for?
$1,200-$1,300-ish right now. So
you got it for $10.50?
That's 20% good. Off. I was happy.
That's not
I
bad
want to know
all.
What this is. What could Fanatics do to reinvigorate the card market when they take over basketball and football?
All right. So this is a question that, so I've been getting a lot of guys reach out to me when it comes to like the positivity of the market, because they know I typically have a positive take. And this has been an idea that's been floated around of what could or should those responsible, those in charge do. And I wanted to see if you had a take, because there's a few ideas that have been thrown out there. I was just curious what you feel about.
Do you have some
about
ideas
these.
About like what's
yeah.
that? Okay, so, I'd like to hear them.
So first one would be maybe something similar to what Panini has done with NFTs, which is offer some kind of reward.
Like a chase. What yes. do they call that thing? This is great audio. We're going to sit here and brainstorm in silence.
No. They
not a bounty.
It's not a bounty. I'll pull it up right here. They call it.
But it incentivizes you to go out and get cards that otherwise would be meaningless.
Exactly. Competition. Dang it. Challenge. That's yep. it.
So in other words, go out and get these inserts of this guy or these 10 cards over here.
Well, like you're already going out probably to buy a pack of cards looking for someone else, but then you're always stuck with all these additional cards that you may or may not actually want, or you may not care about.
And have no value, by the way.
Exactly.
Yep. So I like that actually.
Do you think that's a feasible thing? Do you think that could work out? Because my thinking is.
I think it could. It just takes a little planning, a little bit more planning on their part. And you could also then get pretty creative. Hey, if you do this, you get a game worn jersey.
Exactly.
They have contracts with all the PAs. So,
and if you look at some of the challenges with Panini's NFT packs, like some of them are pretty in depth. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just a few cards, but some of them you have to collect, you know, 15, 20 cards.
Sure. I actually like that idea though.
I think that could be something interesting for Panini or for Fanatics to pursue.
You know, the other thing, by the way, speaking of Panini, that they're doing now in NFTs is the physical golden tickets. Actually, Brandon on the app just won that. I think it's like, I think he's the one who won it. It's like tickets to tickets to the Jets Patriots game. They fly you up, put you in the hotel, give you tickets to the game.
So
I could pull that out of Don Russ basketball next year and go to a Celtics game for free.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
So that was basically the next idea was essentially another, you know, taking from the NFT world is utility of some of these cards. Like you pull such and such a card and it gives you access to this game or you get tickets to
the golden ticket thing.
Yeah. Essentially.
So I like that idea. I don't think it reinvigorates a hobby by and large, but I think it's a good idea that helps a little bit.
Okay.
Both of these things, I think, add a little bit to it.
Okay.
It's not like the overall, because I don't think there is just the one answer for everything, but I think both of those are positive spins.
I also this was just one of my ideas was that.
What's the deal with your hat? I've never asked you about this. This odd job. Is this like a movie thing or is this just like a cool guy thing?
Oh, it's a cool guy thing. Like
you have a flat bill.
I have
on
a very large head, as you know.
It's like 9.5.
My wife buys me hats that fit my head and it's not all that often. Tried
a trash bag. That would fit.
Just right around the neck. Just take it all the way down. I just imagined myself with a trash bag on my head.
I went to a hipster joint today.
What was it called?
Oh, I don't know. You've never. By the way, I was like, yeah, let's have like bacon. Like I ordered like a whole breakfast. I was like, yeah, bacon's that. He's like, we don't have bacon, but we have bacon infused jam. I was like,
did you go to Barista Parlor? It wasn't Barista Parlor, was it?
No. It's next to that place, Mitchell's. Or is this a whole little Nashville? Okay. If you're looking at Mitchell's, the place next to what we went to that pub to the left of it. It's to the left across the street. Same side of the street. Oh, keep going.
I haven't been to that place.
It's okay. And then Josh took 19 minutes to order his coffee. And the waiter was all about it. He's like, you know, I want like a pressed and steamed.
Oh, he loves.
And
milk.
And then as I'm walking out, they have like a whole bakery section. This is compelling stuff. I kid you not.
Were we just talking about a thing?
I don't care. The name on the cookie was literally gluten-free vegan everything cookie. Not everything, apparently. There's no real
was
egg
there flavor?
Milk. There's no flavor cookie. I was not thrilled.
All right.
Josh led me astray.
That's
what else is that was my hobby?
Hipster moment. All right. So a moment when you go to a game, an opportunity for signings, live signings.
Again, cute idea. I think it's cool for some. Mm-hmm. Doesn't reinvigorate the whole hobby, but it's a good first step. Okay. I find it hard to trust vegans.
Last one. Okay. Set completion prizes. Like you collect the entire set.
Right.
They're like
a prize. I think it's a prize. Yeah. Yeah. So same as similar to a challenge.
It's similar to a challenge.
I like that. That's the least sexy of these four options. That's probably the one that would appeal to the most because it gives guys on the low end something to chase.
Well, and I think I like that. Because when you grew up, were you collecting sets? Did that matter to you at all?
No, not really.
But there are some guys out there.
I do it now, though.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, some guys out there, like, they're about collecting the set. Mm-hmm. I've never really had that desire personally, but I am thinking, like, okay, if I'm new to the hobby and I know, like, not only are there a number of players here that I like, but if I got the rest of them along with it, because, I may get them anyways, I might just throw them out. But if I collected them and I got some kind of reward for it, I don't know.
I think those are actually all pretty good.
Okay. Do you have anything else besides that? Anything off the top of your head?
No, I was just going to say, like, the last thing, because this was annoying. There was an attitude about no bacon, but then I got this is not a joke. I got a side of ham. I was like, you're killing the thing either way. Why can't I get bacon? Why am I a murderer now? Okay. No, those are great ideas. Limit production run on some stuff. I do think that's a big idea. No overpopulating of cards.
Okay.
So we don't have a new junk wax era, which we're not going to, but just limit that. Mm-hmm. Limit the amount of SKUs. We don't need 50,000 new products every single year. Mm-hmm. And I do think it would be important if we're going to do some things. I would love to see a total separation of church and state, meaning product X is a retail product and that is it. Because what we've seen now is Prism Hobby is great and it's awesome and everybody loves it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 50,000 SKUs of Prism in retail. Now, the plus side of that is for a cheap price, you can get into retail Prism. That's great. But the downside is it then just floods the market. We've got all these other different inserts, all these other different colors and refractors. It's too much, in my opinion.
Here's the thing.
So I think some things need to go only hobby, only retail. And the retail stuff, make it a decent brand and print the crap out of it.
And you know what's great about you and me is that you see it from your perspective and I see it from mine because that idea is great for the guys who are already in the hobby. But I don't think if you're not in it, guys would care about that or really even know why that's as big of a deal as it actually is. So I think that you have to combine essentially both of what we've talked about.
I agree. Yeah, I think there's, and again, having said all of that, if the economy is in a recession next year, like they're saying, I don't think any of these things, you know, all of a sudden reinvigorate everything, but they are positive steps in the right direction.
Well, the reason why some of this came up was because Maddie B, if you recall from who? Vegas, when we went out there for the Mint Collective, Matt Bubar, I believe is how you pronounce
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Your buddy from the Brazilian joint.
So Maddie B.
Well, you stole the pineapple.
I didn't steal. It's all you can eat. You can take the pineapple.
Pineapple's on top as a display. It's a
garnish is what it
Most
was.
Most people can't even reach that.
So he sent me this quote from
stuck with that bill.
The co-founder. I got billed. Co-founder of Upper Deck. This guy, his name is Richard McWilliam. Let me read this quote for you, okay? You're going to have to just pause the ADD.
I am trying my best.
This is something for the market, for everybody listening. If you're in the card market, take note.
Okay. It
says, my personal philosophy in life is that positive things come from positive acts. If we have a hobby, which is positive, the people in the hobby are positive. They're going to be instrumental in making this hobby grow, and they're going to be instrumental in keeping the hobby positive. When you have negative feelings in the hobby, you're going to have a negative hobby. I believe that we've gone through a lot of our growing pains. A lot of people jumped into this hobby not really understanding what it was. A lot of people jumped in and said, hey, I can make a quick buck and be a happy guy. But I think a lot of those people have left and there are a lot of good people still involved in the hobby. If we can get this positiveness going so when you walk into a card shop, you're having fun again, it will have a lot to do with making it positive. But I think in the long run, the people that are here now are the people that are going to stay and help make it positive. Here's what is really interesting about that. That quote was from 1994.
Oh, good. I was going to say, because Upper Deck has no business speaking on the state of the hobby now. Talk about a company that's contributed nothing in the last decade.
Could you cannot disagree that that statement could just as easily be applied to today. But here's the thing. We're repeating history.
This is garbage, though. Hang on a second. I go in and buy a $300 box of Origins football and I pull a $5 hit, I'm supposed to be positive?
Like, I'm not saying that. No. Listen to the final point.
How about Upper Deck work with breakers? That would have helped the hobby. How about Upper Deck put any type of a product that is relevant in 2022? Richard McMillan, is he still alive?
I don't know. But here's the final point is we are repeating history in the hobby. And that's why the ideas like what we just talked about need to be discussed. Because you have to.
I don't think we're repeating history.
Because obviously these things have happened before. We've seen spikes. We've seen guys come in and then go out. We've seen positivity. We've seen negativity. But what has changed in the long term?
A million things. Go ahead.
But what has changed to make the hobby overall grow to a much larger place? I would say there's still work to be done. And that's why ideas like this help.
I don't mind that. But let me just shoot down some of this positivity is the best thing crap.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping for honestly, it. Yes, let's hear it.
Just yeah, I mean, positivity, throw up on me. I'm all about positivity when it is warranted. Negativity often leads to accountability when it's not sensationalized. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is an important thing.
Agreed.
You know what else has changed since 1994? Mac. This poor guy's probably dead. He's like, what are they talking about?
His relatives are listening. He's a nice guy.
It is not like 1994. The market has expanded 1,000 times. We have big business money coming into this now. Uh-huh. Grading is now a thing. Flippers are now a thing.
Sure.
This thing is a massive new industry, and it is not just a hobby. It is a business. So positivity has a place, but it's over, like too much positivity, quite frankly, just leads to guys pumping stuff up that doesn't need to be pumped.
I agree.
I think a balance is needed. And that's why I do think a healthy pessimistic view is okay.
I disagree.
I can't stand Upper Deck.
Not
honestly, I just, they don't work with breakers. They don't want to like distribute product and help people out. I do. I have so many issues with that company. It's ridiculous. We can move on.
I think the point has been made. I just want to share that because I like fresh ideas in the hobby.
I like turtles. Where's that drop? Is that on your board?
No, that's not it. Yeah, I don't have it.
Some in the soundboard over there doing nothing. No new releases this week. We'll talk about that on Monday. I did want to review a couple things, though. It is interesting to me to see what is sitting on Panini's website as we speak, as a show goes out.
Dude, I tried to buy this before the show after I saw your notes.
What did you try to buy?
The Prism. It's not letting me.
Is it sold out now?
No. It just my payment won't go through. I don't know why. It's saying like contact your company.
It's not a balance.
Is
it still
issue.
For sale on the homepage at Panini though? If you go to the homepage, you should just be able to see them scrolling with prices.
Yes, Prism Soccer is still available as of like an hour ago.
Okay, so all of these were available when I was prepping the show today, which is surprising at these prices.
11 a.m. Central Time on the 10th.
So Prism World Cup Soccer is $429. Origins Football is $270. Certified Football $205. Select Basketball is too expensive. I actually looked around a little bit. At $700, I'm out. But I'm kind of shocked those other three are still available at those prices. I actually think those are pretty good prices on all three of them.
Here's my question that I can't seem to wrap my head around is how is it that third parties like, say, Blowout are selling these things? So Select is selling for $900, like $975. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's Select Football. Were you talking about Select Basketball?
Basketball.
I'm sorry. But let's go back to the soccer one. So the soccer is selling for like $600-something, but it's still selling for $429. eBay... multiple sales for like $500 and $600. Again, it's selling for $429 on their site. Why is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't think people pay attention.
You think that's what it is?
Yep.
Just people assume it's already sold out.
And we're going to do that big Spectre. So Spectre's on there as well at $925, which is just very expensive. It's a good product. That's why we want to do a free Spectre break and have it be incentivized. Like, hey, anybody who buys a box off, and we'll actually get a start date and we'll bring in an athlete to do it. But it'll be like, hey, anybody who buys a box between this day and this day will be entered into a free giveaway for a Spectra box, and we'll have some fun with it. But yeah, go to the Panini website. There's a ton of stuff still for sale there. It's kind of wild, especially for the pricing it's at.
Yeah, the fact that I would be surprised if by the end of this weekend that Prism Soccer is still there. Just because the fact that it is selling for higher than that.
Right, and I'm holding until I want to get 600 a box or more. That's kind of my goal. I bought it for four. I want to get six.
I think you're going to get six.
I hope so.
I think that brings us.
Let's just go mailbag. We're done here.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, if you want a chance to win NBA game tickets, go set your lineup for So Rare. Mike and I did. Mike's making fun of me because I didn't have Giannis. That's Giannis. I'm sorry. I mispronounced that. Mailbag. Let's start with Mr. Mark Rusev. Thank you, Mark. That's a hard name. You're really doing me right. When you say rip and get them graded, what cards do you typically send in? Rookies and inserts, base rookies, all non-base cards. Obviously, it's situational. Just wondering if you stick to hype players or do you do some gambling on prospects?
Yeah, I mean, certain prospects I will. Like if there's a big hitting prospect in baseball who's just not hitting the ball yet, I'm okay with that. I'll take a shot there because I would rather have those guys back and graded and have them be worth nothing. But then when they do actually pop and play well, okay, well, great. Then I've got the card in hand. It's already ready to go. So, and yeah, I mean, especially because of how cheap grading is now, I'm grading a lot of stuff early because my play is early and often. It's a numbers game. Get the first couple of tens to hit the market, flip them. So yeah, as long as the card has some value and can cover, I generally try to stick to the rule of with my grading cost, will a 10 double the price of that? So I have a good margin. Then even if I get a 9.5 instead of a 10, I'm still probably even if not ahead.
What's the rule as far as like sending to SGC just because it's such a quick turnaround?
I mean, that's really been the game. I mean, it's not even the pricing. Like PSA pricing is cheap right now too. The thing with me at SGC, again, if I pull a $1,000 card tomorrow, 500 and up probably, I'm going to PSA. But with SGC, it's 18 bucks. And I mean, I've had occasions lately where I've shipped a card off on a Friday and had it back at home on Friday.
That's insane. Okay.
Again, you talk about speed and first to market means a lot in these things. So I actually think it's a big, yeah, I think that's a big deal.
He also goes on to ask, Mike, what's your go-to platform to sell singles? And Jesse, what's the next wax buy and hold move you're looking at?
What is it?
Actually, it was this Prism Soccer for $429. That is, I do honestly think that's a really good deal. When you can already see it's selling for more than that, I don't see why that's not a good investment.
Pay your credit card bill. You can probably do that.
It's not that. It was PayPal or something with that. But what platform do you sell singles?
Shameless plug, Card Shop Live. I was on there last night. We did a big repack at $300 a box, sold a bunch of just random wax and auctioned off some singles. So, yep.
Michael Provost wants to know, with the market becoming more selective with products people are buying, will Fanatics and Panini be more selective with the products they produce?
This is a good question. I hope so. Because there's some products I just think have not done well traditionally. So hopefully they just stop being made. Because I think even that starts to water down the market. It seems like that is going to be the case with Fanatics from all we've heard. So I hope they stick to that.
Here's a question for you. Which would you prefer? Them continue to make those products, but with more limited print runs, or less products and more print run in the products that do exist?
I'm actually fine with either one of those.
You want one of them, but you don't have a preference. I'm fine with
either. Yeah. Okay. And probably the first. Just continue to make the kind of lower end crappy products, just make much less of them.
Okay.
As opposed to just make even more of the top end stuff.
Especially now that we are not in 2021 and everything doesn't just get grabbed off the shelves. Andre Joseph Bullius. I see Andre all the time. I never have pronounced his AJ. Last name.
I don't know why you have to get fancy.
Mr. AJ Bullius. Don't roast me, he says, but what are best practices on organizing collections? He goes on to say by sport, team, or by year, by set. Do you have a preference?
Everything I have in my Zion cases is just by player.
Just by player.
Here's my Tatums. Here's my Jaws, my Bradys. Yep. Straight by player.
Of course, if that's different, if you actually are collecting a set, you know.
Oh, yeah. My sets I have in different binders. Like my Marvel set is in numerical order. My Sign of the Times auto set, the same thing in alphabetical order. But yeah, I don't know. I just keep them in the box. I don't know if any. He asked about blogs. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea about blogs. Oh, yeah. Any blogs to point to us. Yeah.
Andre is a big soccer fan.
Adam Graver, what is the best place for comps on non-sports cards?
I actually think Card Ladder does that as well. Card Ladder and eBay. I mean, Card Ladder picks up data from eBay, PWCC, all of the areas. So
sales history. The thing with Card Ladder is you have to access sales history. To access sales history, you have to have the paid account.
If you want that,
we do have the link on our page, Sports Cards Nonsense, under Card Services. You get 15% discount, yada, yada. That's all good and great. If you can't access that, then there's always eBay sold listings. Like that's typically where I would go. James Zaccadini. All right. With the hobby boom slightly in our rear view and many wondering if we will see a spike again in the near future, what do you think were the biggest contributions to the boom?
My favorite question, by the way, he gives five options. Favorite question. He asks
you
of the
to
week.
Rank them.
Yep.
So one being stimulus money, two, nostalgia, three, Gary V, four, 2018-19 NBA draft class, and five, COVID and being bored at home.
Far and away number one. This answer is not even close.
I don't even think you were going to have one.
You know what okay. it is?
Boy.
You're going to get this wrong, which makes me happy.
I would, your guess? I'm
no,
gonna
it's not a guess. This is absolutely the reason.
I think you're going to say number four, 2018-19 draft class.
COVID and being bored at home.
You do think that? Oh,
not okay. only do we have more people spending and buying in the hobby, break rooms everywhere were just full of people in the room, hanging out, talking about things. People started doing content. I started doing content because of that. That's what brought us in the content game.
Okay.
I mean, so many people did that. It is far and away COVID and being bored at home.
Would you say that COVID also played a part in you dropping or getting out of the breaking game?
That's exactly why. It's caused the values to spike, mm-hmm. but it also caused the fear in me. Like, hey, if people can't pay rent, I mean, the country was shut down at that point.
Yeah.
If people are losing jobs and not paying rent.
I think that was probably before the stimulus checks started going out too.
Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know if they're going to have expendable income anymore for baseball cards.
Yep.
And I had accumulated, I mean, dude, I had probably close to $1 million just in inventory at the house when COVID started.
It's insane.
In cases.
I remember the boxes just everywhere.
Remember
your
we
house?
Had to get rid of my kitchen table at the two bedroom apartment. Yeah.
That was
so
fun.
COVID being home bored, not even close. Number one. Number two, though, was I say not close. Number two was actually a result of that was nostalgia. Hey, I'm hearing about baseball cards. People mm-hmm. are talking about it again. Man, I really loved this card when I was a kid. I want to come back. Boom, nostalgia. It happened to be perfect timing with 2018, 2019 draft classes. All of a sudden, we had Zion, somebody we'd never seen before. And talk about a perfect, I mean, across the board, really. So if you go in Zion, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We're off the heels of Ohtani in 2018, who set the hobby on fire at that point. But then 2 years later, we've now got Wander. It was 2019, which was even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Dominguez, though, was in 2020 Bowman, which dropped in April of that year.
Okay.
I believe he was the highest selling prospect auto to come out in the history of Bowman, which is insane.
Really?
So wow. You got Zion, highest ever at the time.
Yep.
Jason Dominguez, Joe Burrow, 2020, because he said 2018, 2019 mm-hmm. NBA draft classes. It's a little bit off. It was the 2020 class. Dominguez, Zion comes into league, finally okay. plays. Joe Burrow is unbelievable. I mean, you had one in every yep. sport.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. Gary V had some effect. But I don't think nearly, I don't think Gary Vee and influencers in general had as much effect as people think.
It is, yeah, it is funny because I don't think at the time I even knew who Gary Vee was until like maybe towards the end of 2020.
Yeah, and I liked him better when he, like his financial stuff I was listening to. When he got in the hobby, I actually didn't like his takes there by and large. Stimulus money, by the way, useless. This is the most overplayed. And here's my reason. If you were relying on a $600 check to actually help, then you probably were not in a position to go waste it on sports cards. And if you weren't, it's because you had cash and you were just continuing to work and you had money that was expendable because you weren't going out to eat. It wasn't even the fact it was a stimulus check. It was the fact you weren't spending money doing anything else.
Here's the thing about the stimulus money is I do think it did play a part. I don't think it played as big of a part, but I think it played a part in the people that already had money. I think the overall market or the economy was already doing fairly well at the time, despite this COVID crash. And so people still had their jobs. The unemployment numbers didn't rise all that much. So it is a matter of they just had extra cash. So they could spend it on that. But to your point, I do think it is at the last of that list.
If you didn't get it, yeah, if nobody got stimulus money, I don't think the hobby is affected at all. Like I honestly think if you're going to throw money into the mix, it's, hey, I'm not going out to eat three times a week because
yeah.
we weren't leaving our house as much, you know, yeah. I was saving. I'm not going on vacation. I'm not going to the movies. I'm not going to a baseball game and spending $300 for my family. I have all this other expendable income.
Well, the thing they didn't put on here either was crypto. I mean, a lot of the people who bought into crypto also bought into cards.
It did, but I don't think it contributed to the boom as much because those people were already in the card market. It contributed some, but yeah. it was a select few and they were already there. The boom was all the new people coming in because they were bored. They wanted something to do. They like baseball cards. James, one of my favorite questions ever asked, by the way.
Thank you, James.
Yep.
Steve Dugan wants to know.
I hate this question.
Worst question I've ever seen.
Yeah.
With the market being where it is, does artificial hype create pop culture created by pop culture still have similar effects in cards as it did a year ago?
Absolutely not. And that is very clear. We had the Jeter documentary, nothing. We've had championships, MVPs, different things happen off the field, off the court, whatever. No effect. Mm-hmm. Even different things too, like people dying, which used to have a huge. Bill Russell passed, obviously. Mm-hmm. Not much of an effect on his cards. The Willie Mays documentary, which he cited, not the case. You know, so no.
We've talked about this a few times. I don't think there's been anything in this year really that you could point to and say that pop culture reference did something for that guy's value that lasted more than a day or two.
Correct.
Don Getters.
We already kind of covered this, but we can ask the second part.
So second part of the question is basically non-QBs. Are non-QBs like Micah Parsons, Jamar Chase, Waddle enough for Wax to hold value?
Right. So yeah, in the first part, I should have said, so if only one of the 2020 QBs holds, you know, comes out and actually sticks.
2021 QB class.
It's funny he says it, like a Burrow or Herbert. Yeah. So yeah, so Mac or Trevor. If only one of those guys sticks around, can the other guys be enough to hold value? Not at current values, because it's based on other people being very, very good too. But it's enough to hold value to keep it relevant, because there'll still at least be some big time chases there.
Manuel Flores wants to know, first time.
Manuel.
You're right. Thank you, sir. Manuel, first time, long time, since you fine gentlemen are talking about the greatest hobby draft class. This is for me. Mm-hmm. Jesse, name your top name? Five DC villains about to start a PC and need sports boys advice.
I can't name five DC villains.
Darkseid is probably
the bad guy for Superman.
Yeah, he was in
who
Superman.
Who killed him? Who killed Superman? Was it Darkseid? Doomsday.
Yes. Oh, was it Doomsday?
Wasn't Doomsday the dude?
I thought it was Darkseid, but you may be right now that I'm thinking about it.
I think I'm right.
I can't remember.
Is the Joker a DC villain?
He is. Okay. So I think Joker is my favorite, but I do think Darkseid is the more intimidating foe. And then the rest of them after that, it's hard because it's just not as... let me see.
Google like most popular DC villains.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up. There's a lot of them, but none of them are all that great to me.
Give me some names. Who we got on there?
Prometheus, Parallax, nope. Anti-Monitor, Crime Syndicate.
That's a name.
Darkseid is number one on the list.
Doomsday killed Superman, I'm telling you.
That is funny that the DC comics. The bad guys are not as prominent. It could be our own ignorance, but...
This is the comic I had.
Oh, Ra's al Ghul he was in the Batman movie. Doomsday was he the one who killed him?
It is, yep.
Okay. In the Batman versus Superman, I was totally thinking Doomsday...
I'm thinking of the comics, by the way.
Well, in Doomsday, he did technically kill him in Batman versus Superman. Okay. He came back. I'm totally thinking, I'm forgetting all of the Batman bad guys, like
Mr. Freeze,
Poison Ivy,
the Riddler.
Now here's the thing, the Riddler and the new Batman. I thought that was actually pretty, he did a good job.
I agree.
Okay. Sorry. Well, that's a long tangent just because this is something I really enjoy talking about, but, Joker and, Darkseid would probably have to be my two biggest. And then after that, it's a hodgepodge. I think that's our last question.
No, there's a couple more. Tyler Rodriguez.
Oh, I need to refresh.
I like this one. Halfway through the season, who's your prediction to face the 49ers in the Super Bowl? By the way, the 49ers have as good a chance as anybody. If I had to pick a team in the AFC right now, I'd take the Chiefs.
And then Jason Tennant, what do you consider some of your favorite sets based on appearance / looks from the last 10 years for major sports?
Yeah, so like different sets. I thought the first time I saw the downtowns, the stained glass, some of that stuff was really cool. But if you go a little bit, well, he said 10 years. Dynasty Baseball's first year, I thought was an unbelievably cool looking set. I actually think the Spike set from Dynasty is awesome. The only problem is the card is about an inch thick, so it comes in that big snap down. You got to find a way to display it, but I do think those are pretty awesome cards. Man, I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of others, but yeah, I don't know. Those are the ones that came to mind right off the bat, at least.
So this is not, does not have to do with my favorite set, but it is something that I thought was interesting as far as like some older sets go. There's a guy on eBay. I don't know how much trust you want to put into it because I've only looked at it for a little bit. Junkwax Investor is his name, but he puts out this list of top 10 highest selling basketball, baseball, football. He even does like hockey and non-sports cards from the Junkwax era that are selling right now. And it basically just does like a top 10 list of what cards are doing the best as far as sales go. I thought it was really cool. A lot of it's stuff that you're not thinking of because it's not Jordan, right? It's like Patrick Ewing. He had a PSA 10 of his 1993 Ultra just sold for almost $2,000 from Scoring Kings. And then there's Carl Malone's 1993 Ultra, also from Scoring Kings, just sold for $1,100.
Oh,
that 1993 Scoring Kings set seems to be pretty hot if you can get a 10.
Finest refractors might be the greatest thing of all time.
Oh,
and
really?
Old school EX Century.
Oh, those are both, that came up a couple times.
Both older than 10 years, by the way. So it doesn't fit what Jason's asking, but I love those two.
You know what also seemed is really weird? So coaches from the 1991 Skybox, like from the Barcelona 92 games, they're going for like $700+. I don't understand it, but if you have any of any coaches from those games, there you go. But yeah, that's a plug. I have no idea who the guy is. I just found him today, but I thought his videos were kind of helpful. That's our show.
Who is on Monday and Thursday next week? Do we have guests or no?
Not on Monday, but Thursday. So you guys may have remembered that Chris
Don't remind him.
Was supposed to be on today, but he wasn't. He's sick, but he'll be feeling better by next Thursday and he'll be here.
I think next week's actually a pretty big release week. So we'll have some release talk. Hopefully another little event coming up soon. We can give some stuff away. Oh, and next week we're doing the reaction to other content.
Yeah.
Jesse's going to play clips. We're going to react to it. We had one today, but it was meh. Fine. Anyways, Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. He is Jesse, and I was also here. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mike.